Hi guys.
Welcome back to the Unraveling the World podcast.
I'm thrilled to have a very special guest with me today, Sahana Kargi. Sahana, could you please take a moment to introduce yourself to our listeners?
Yes, so hi, my name's Sahana. I have social media accounts all under my Pawfect family. It started about animals and it's quickly evolved to hair and beauty. And I've recently been posting about my pageant experience. I'm completely new to the pageant world and I've just been documenting and sharing my journey along the way. So I'm really excited to talk about that in my social media.
Yeah. So as a successful influencer with like a substantial platform, what was your initial source of inspiration that led you to become involved in social media?
So actually when I started college, I had a lot of exotic animals and I genuinely just missed seeing them when I was away in classes. I had a dorm, so I would just film videos mostly for myself so I could watch them back like during my lunch breaks and between classes. And then especially when I started going to TikTok, I think it was like the perfect storm. It was a time where so many people were joining the apps and the algorithm was, you know, really favoring small creators. So once I started to get traction on those videos, I quickly turned into hair and beauty. And I realized that there's really not much representation for like South Asian beauty and South Asian beauty standards. So I really wanted to share that. Like a lot of the hair routines that worked great on, you know, girls that have naturally straight hair, they wouldn't work on my coarse and frizzy hair. So I would try a lot of those techniques or try hairstyles on my black hair and see how it looks. So from there, I've quickly grown it. And I think it's a mix of, you know, keeping things really organic and authentic, but then also being really smart about like understanding the market, understanding the trends. And I had a math major, so I felt like I really liked all the numbers side of it. So yeah, I've been able to grow it. It's weird. Now I'm kind of doing it full time in addition to research. And it's really exciting that, you know, that door is open for me.
Yeah. You know, in every career, any sort of journey, there are always challenges or setbacks. Was there any specific setback in your journey as an influencer? And what sort of lessons did you learn from that setbacks?
It's kind of like every single week, there almost feels like there's a new setback because, you know, like a certain series you think will do really well will completely flop, or you put all this effort into a video and it really doesn't do well at all. So I think especially as an influencer and in life, you know, there's a lot of hills and valleys. So you might be at a low, but it doesn't mean that there's like not another peak coming. And I think one of like the newest challenges I've been dealing with recently is when you're a bit online, now I've been doing it for like 2 years, it's really hard not to compare yourself with like past versions of yourself. So that's been my newest challenge. Sometimes like I'll see old videos and be like, oh, my hair was so much longer then, my hair was thicker, or, you know, my body looks different. And I think that's like a really new challenge of social media. The fact that, you know, like I'm in my 20s, I'm changing so much every year and I can still compare myself to my teenage self. That's not necessarily healthy. So I think that's been my biggest challenge recently is making sure that I don't feel like I'm too old because I'm only 22. I still have time and just not getting in my head about things.
Yeah. So as an influencer, you mentioned setbacks. So you likely receive both praise and criticism. So how do you handle negative feedback or online criticism? And what advice would you give to people facing those similar sorts of challenges?
I think it's really hard, I think, for adults to understand because sometimes I tell my parents about it and I hate to sound like a teenager, but they just don't get it. You know, I think right now in this generation, like our online personas are almost more important than how we are in person. Like a lot of us put more efforts into how we look on our Instagram feed and we don't really care what we look like going to the grocery store. So I think understanding that it's okay to feel those things and that it's completely normal. And it's not like you can just close a computer and the hate comments gone. Those things really do affect you. But I found that for me, a really big tip has I don't do social media full time, and I think that's really important. You know, with when you post a video, there's so many other factors that you can't control that's going to affect how the video does. And I think it's important to have goals and careers that don't rely on other people and don't rely on, you know, a random algorithm that just might really hate your background one day. So I always try to have real physical goals in the real world. I make sure that social media is not my life, and I love having physical hobbies. I do Indian dance and I love it. I think doing something that can like test your body and push your body to the limits and force you to, you know, feel all your muscles and feel all the things is really important. So I try to keep a balance of real world and the online world, but then also understand that the online world is really integral and it's okay, you know, when things really hurt and really do bother you.
Yeah. You mentioned like Indian classical dance. I do Bharatanatyam as well. But growing up in a South Asian community, how did that impact your personal and professional life as an influencer?
It's really weird because I grew up in Utah and I didn't really have much of a South Asian community. You know, like here the beauty standard is very white. Everyone has beautiful blonde hair, like, you know, very white skin, eyelash extensions. Like Utah is just, it's kind of like its own little sect of the world. So I think it was really hard. I didn't feel like I had that South Asian community. My mom was a Bharatanatyam dance teacher, so we have that in common. So through the Indian dance, I, you know, had some friends, but like I didn't go to school with them. They weren't my, you know, exact grade or my exact age. So I really did feel like I was missing that community, which is why I think I was able to really like lean into the social media, because that was the first time that, you know, I've had other brown women be like, hey, like I love this product, or hey, you should try this, or oh my god, like your mom like throws some datta kuchi at you, like my mom used to do that too. So it's all those shared experiences that I never had with like any of my friends growing up, I've been able to have virtually.
Yeah, so it's like a sense of community. Mm-hmm. So after, you know, finding your place in the South Asian community, you also started getting involved in pageantry. So what were the kind of motivations for starting to explore this new passion of yours?
Right, so I live in Utah and I feel like I worked really hard to like build and find myself online, and I wanted to bring that back into the real world. So I really wanted to do something that I didn't think I could do. Again, have a physical goal. So I really wanted to get into pageants. The beauty standard here, you know, most of pageant girls do not look like me, do not look like us. So it was really important to me that I wanted to visibly show that, you know, the beauty standard has changed. And I try to tell myself, it's not that I'm not the Utah beauty standard. I am the Utah beauty standard. Like, I am a Utah girl. Utah's changing. Beauty standards across the world are changing. So I want to show that someone who looks like me can be conventionally attractive, even in Utah, like a state that we don't have a lot of that. So that was a big part, changing the beauty standard. But then also through my social media, I really got to see, you know, how many children are online and how vulnerable they are, how few tools they have. Just things like handling hate comments, like, that needs to be taught in schools. We're teaching children how to like talk about bullying and how to like build close relationships, but we're not teaching them how to navigate the online world, which is so important to who they are. So I really like that through pageants, you have the community service initiative and you really have a chance to get out in your community and talk about an issue that you're really passionate about.
Yeah. So in pageantry, you know, a lot of people have this misconception that it's just about like looks or just about beauty, but it also involves a lot of like talking and advocating for important issues. What are important issues for you?
So for mine, usually have one CSI that you focus. Mine was raising digital citizens. So I really wanted to talk about, oh my goodness, I'm sorry. I really wanted to talk about how for the next generation, like different curricula that we need to have in schools and different things that they need to be taught. Like I didn't have social media until I was 18 years old. So I felt like I knew the basics. Like I had a private Instagram account. I wouldn't accept follow requests from random people. I knew all the basics and still people are working around that. I remember when I was in college, my first year, like people would airdrop you like explicit pictures. That was the big thing. So I remember it was like a Friday night. I was literally in my dorm with my roommates and someone had like airdropped something. And I was like, oh, I didn't know people airdropped like bad things. I thought it would just be like maybe like a picture or like something like I needed to have. And then it was an explicit picture. I was like, oh my goodness, they are not teaching this in schools. Like the advice that we're giving is so outdated. We're not hitting on the modern things. So I really wanted to update the curricula. So that was a major part, but then also, you know, changing the beauty standard and making sure that we have more representation, and not just representation like, hey, I look different and I can do this. I wanted to be visibly different representation. I chose to wear a traditional Indian gown and I'm doing a traditional Indian dance for my talent. So, and I wear a bindi in a lot of my other categories. So it was important that, you know, there's a visible change on the stage.
Yeah. So when you speak out about all these important topics, do you have some sort of inspiration or a role model? And if you do, why are they your role model?
I think my biggest inspiration, it's pretty ironic. I chose this issue not because of my experience on social media, but because of my experience outside of social media. Like I get more hate and more like weird follow requests on my private personal Instagram than I ever have seen on my like large social media accounts. So I think these are very relevant issues that everyday people are dealing with. So I think that's been a huge source of inspiration for me. And then in terms of role model, I think my parents have always been a big one. I know that's cliche, but to see, especially when they were my age, is when they immigrated from India. So to see all the new things that they accomplished and all the risks that they took to give me the life that I have makes me feel, you know, like very humbled, but then also like encouraged. Like, if my parents can move to a different country at 22, I can definitely, you know, try a new hobby.
Yeah. So balancing your personal life and your social media journey probably has been hard or has been easy for you. So how has that left an impression on your life?
It's definitely been very hard. I think with social media, not that it's a hard job, but I think it's easy, especially when it is your job, to let it kind of encapsulate all aspects of your life. Like, I used to be really good about managing my screen time, but now it's hard because, you know, even when I'm scrolling through TikTok, I'm like, okay, this is my job. I'm trying to find like a trending audio. So I'll scroll like for an hour and I'll just completely zone out. So it definitely has been hard. I'm still working to find the balance, but yeah, I think it's been hard, especially as more and more things move to online. Like, I did a completely online research program and most internships nowadays are online. So I'm not really sure if there's a solution to that, but yeah, it's definitely hard and I understand the struggle.
Yeah. So you talked about like scrolling through screen time and having it hard sometimes balancing your personal life and social media. So what's your sort of creative process for content creation? How do you come up with new ideas or engaging ideas? And if something doesn't turn out the way you like it, how do you come back from that?
I think my creative process is when I started doing social media, someone gave me advice and they're like, make sure you're making content about your life and you're not making content creation your life. So I have a life, and a lot of the times what I film just revolves around the things that I'm naturally doing. You know, I'll see a hairstyle that I really want to try out to the movies with my friends and I'll just film the hairstyle. Or like, I really wanted to get into pageants and have, you know, a goal in the physical world. So then I started filming my entire pageant process. So I think a lot of it is just filming my life. But then also, you know, if you do see trends on social media, like trending audios, especially on TikTok, are huge. If I see an audio like more than 5 times when I'm scrolling, I write it down and then I keep track of that. So I think it's a mixture of keeping things authentic, but then like, I do have my little math brain on and I'm really seeing, you know, like, oh my goodness, every single video under this audio has a million views. Maybe I need to do something. Or this audio has been blowing up the past few days. Or, oh, like, everybody's doing this trend. Let me try it on my brown skin. So I think it's a lot of what I'm doing in my life, videos that I wish I could have seen when I was younger, and then just videos I think will do well.
Okay. So as an influencer, what are your long-term goals? You know, I know you've like accomplished a lot and you've, you know, reached a lot of your milestones, but in the long term, do you have any other goals or any, you know, sort of big milestones that you hope to achieve?
It's really weird, especially now that I graduated college, because I feel like for so many years, my goal is just to graduate after my undergrad, and now I'm done with that. So yeah, I'm really trying to figure out what my new goals are. I definitely want to keep going through the pageantry and win a title that way, but yeah, I'm also going to be applying to graduate school, so I guess I have, I'm really interested in like the ethics of machine learning, so I want to do research in that. So yeah, I guess just like that. I think 20s are really for figuring it out, and I'm really trying to take it year by year and just do whatever interests me. It's hard with social media. Sometimes it feels like you hit your peak really young, and I think a lot of people try really hard to live up to like who they were when they were 22, 23, and I don't want that. I want to make sure that, you know, I'm growing and evolving at every stage of my life.
Yeah. So what advice would you offer to young aspiring individuals, like particularly young girls who aspire to be an influencer or maybe join a pageantry? What would you offer them, and what sort of advice would you kind of give them?
When it comes to, you know, being an influencer, I think it's really important that you do, like, I think the practical advice is you either have to do something different or you have to do something better than what everyone else is doing. You can't do the same thing as someone else and expect to go viral for it. So I think that's my practical advice, but then also like a heart to heart. Make sure you have a reason and make sure you know what you stand for and make sure you really know who you are. I'm so glad that I didn't start social media until I was 18, and I feel like I had a really solid foundation. And I'm still evolving. I've learned to love myself so much more through social media, but I'm glad that I can't imagine what it would have been like, you know, if I was 13 and getting millions of comments a day. So I think it's just be true to who you are, do something either better or do it different, and no one can be you. You can, it's really hard to be, you know, a copy of someone else and do it better than them. But if you're yourself, nobody can take that away from you. And then in terms of getting into pageantry, it's a really hard world. I feel like it kind of feels like an exclusive club. It's something that people have just grown up doing for years. And I always felt like I had a pretty strong support system, but it's nothing, especially compared to what these Utah pageant girls have. Like, girls will literally just sit and they have like a mom, a sister, and a cousin, like completely doing everything, like taping their boobs for them while they're sitting there. And I'm like, I've never had that type of support system.
Yeah.
So I think it's definitely an intimidating world. I think the biggest advice is people really do like to help and volunteer. So like reach out to the directors and ask them like for advice on your walking and your posing and your paperwork. So ask for a lot of help because it's really intimidating. And what they're looking for is very, it's not like specific in terms of like the type of person, like they want blonde hair, blue eyes, but in terms of like how your paperwork is formatted and what type of posing and how you're walking, they have a very clear image. Like the judges have a very clear image in their head. So make sure you're getting advice, because like being yourself is great, but you know, if you're walking too fast or you're doing like really full turns and that's not what your system likes, like you're probably not going to do well.
So how have you tied your South Asian roots to pageantry specifically?
Yeah, so when I started it, it was really important. I knew that I already looked different. I look Indian. And when I first started telling people that I wanted to incorporate like cultural clothing on the stage, that was the first reaction. Everyone's like, you already look Indian. It's very clear, like you're different. Like you don't need to be any more different. And I feel like that was really discouraging. It's like, I know I'm different, but I'm not ashamed of that. What's wrong with being even more different? You know, I didn't go to prom. Like I don't wear ball gowns like on a daily basis, but I do wear lehengas. You know, that's my clothing. I go to Indian weddings. We go to garba. Like that's the type of clothing I have in my closet. So when I did my first pageant, I only had like a month to prepare. So I think it was half of convenience. Like I couldn't really afford to get like a new $500 custom dress. And then it was also, I really did want to show that I could do something different and it wasn't bad to be different. And I really wanted to, I think it's important to talk about, you know, like the Indian American things. It's really important to talk about the nuances of that. But I feel like talking only gets you so far. And I wanted young girls to see that, you know, they can't always understand the complex feelings that they're feeling, you know, of like being too Indian or too American. But when they see like on someone on an American stage wearing an Indian lehenga and a bindi and everything traditional, I think that's a very clear image and they can see, okay, that's Indian American to me.
Yeah. So from your experience in pageantry, what's one of like the biggest lessons that you've learned so far?
It's hard. I really like the support system that comes with it. Like when I went to college, I majored in applied math and computer science. So there was just a lot of men. So I think being surrounded by like a community of so many women that, you know, they're very uplifting. It's been very healing. Like my inner child, I'm like the Barbie movie came out and now I have like this huge community of girls. So I love that. So I think it's to not be like ashamed or embarrassed of the girly things, especially if that's who you are and you really like it. There's nothing wrong with that. And then, yeah, I think that's the biggest lesson. Also, you can't trust everyone. People are shady. So I think I've also learned to have a little bit more of my guard up. And I think it's to understand that, like, it's to think higher of yourself. You know, like you can do well and you can do things different and don't trust everyone. But the people that are there for you, like really utilize them.
Yeah. So to conclude our episode, I was wondering if you have any like last minute sort of feedback or sort of advice that you want to give to the audience.
When it comes to social media, it's changing rapidly every single day. So, you know, whether you're trying to be an influencer, whether you're just trying to be a normal person, I think it's important that, you know, you're utilizing that in a smart way. Like everything we put out there is permanent and you are building a brand, whether it's intentional or not intentional. So I think to be very hyper aware of that is really important for the next generation. You know, be safe. There's so many scary things that come in the online world, and predators are the first people that are figuring out the new apps. You know, before these companies are even marketing something out, like the creeps have already figured it out and they're on there and they're using it. So be really safe. And then I think it's remember who you are, especially for us Indian Americans. I think we can often feel really pulled to, you know, be too Indian or too American or try to balance these two very different worlds. But at the end of the day, you're one person and you are a mixture of these two cultures. So I think it's, you should be proud of that. And, you know, you're not too American, you're not too Indian, you're an Indian American, and that's a mixture of both. And I think there's some periods of your life or some spaces in your life where you're maybe a little bit more of one than you are the other. You feel like you're, you know, more American one day and you feel like you're more Indian one day, and I think that's okay. It's, you know, you don't have to listen to Indian music in the car, or you don't have to listen to pop music. Like, whatever floats your boat is fine.
Yeah. So as we wrap up, I just wanted to give you like a sincere thank you for taking your time during our discussion today. It's been an honor having you here, and I'm really grateful for the insights that you shared. Thank you for being a part of the Unraveling the World podcast.
Yeah, and thank you for having me. I think it's so great to see like other Indian American youth getting into social media and doing things, you know, so different and unique. This is so great. And this is the first podcast I've been on. So thank you for having me.
Yeah, of course. Thank you so much. Bye.
Bye.